Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Chase Thomas podcast. The Chase Thomas podcast. My nephew needs me to record. See, I already hate it.
All right. Hello. Welcome back to another episode of the Chase Thomas podcast. I am still the aforementioned Chase Thomas, and it's Monday night. You're hearing this on Tuesday morning because every Monday night during the NFL season, during the off season, during the long summer months, guess what? Mr. Evan Swords of 49ers Hub and myself are talking all things NFL, but we have actual games to talk about. We have, as we're recording, because Evan and I are both in our 30s, we're old, we have to get up in the morning, we cannot keep waiting. Because, like, during the season, our plan is to record right after Monday Night Football. Unfortunately, ESPN and the Raiders and the Ravens, Peyton Manning, they all have different ideas as this game is still going on as we started recording. I mean, let's just start here. This game is just bonkers. The Raiders, Ravens, the Raiders should have just won this game. The Ravens should have won this game in regulation. There was a crazy 55-yard field goal. They just threw an interception at the 4-yard line, and now they're driving as we start recording. Oh my goodness, what do you make of this opener? But more so, which broadcast were you listening to, Evan?
Well, first and foremost, I believe the Raiders just recovered a fumble.
Oh,
so this game quite literally will never end.
Well, it will, because they can end in a tie. Like, thankfully, it will. It's not a college situation, so it could end in a tie.
This is absolute insanity. First off, hi, man. How are you?
I am good. I'm tired. A lot of football. Like, this is the first weekend of both the NFL and college football both being back at the same time. And, sir, that is a lot of football. It's a good problem to have. It's a first world problem, but it is a lot, my friend. How about you? You're riding high. You had a great weekend. The Niners and the Ducks, great weekend for your team.
Great weekend for sports.
You know what sucks, Evan? So Tennessee and the Falcons had bye weeks. It was one of those weird things early in the season. This doesn't happen very often, but neither the Atlanta Falcons or the Tennessee Volunteers had a game this weekend. It was kind of nice. I didn't know what to do with myself.
You know, I feel for you, man. It is, I gotta say, so obviously, as you mentioned, my Ducks beat the Ohio State Buckeyes for the first time in, I believe, 700 years. Mm-hmm. Very exciting stuff. The team looked great. The 49ers played 58 minutes of absolutely incredible football. Some things happened in those last 2 minutes. We don't need to talk about it. I won both of my fantasy leagues because, amongst other things, I played Aaron Rodgers in both leagues. It was a great weekend for me in sports, man, and I'm very sorry about your loss. I do believe, though, that this is going to be a year of the Falcons getting a very good draft pick.
Misery. Like, they had one of the worst. Well, I'll save my Falcon stuff because it's kind of preposterous how bad the offensive line was this weekend. And then the Tennessee game was just an amazing experience being there, and it's great. But the game was bonkers. At least we're in it, and the game was fun and had its ups and downs. There was nothing fun about my Sunday afternoon, Evan. There was nothing fun about the note taking that I was doing and just the the sports Renaissance woman looking over at me as I just succumbed to the couch, and I kept moving more and more toward the corner and just like shielding my eyes with my hoodie and the work done jersey I have draped over me. It was a pretty dark scene in the household on Sunday.
I don't know how it wouldn't. What the fuck? What? Oh my God.
What just happened? I don't have it on in front of me.
I was either a blown coverage or something, but they went to kick the field goal, and then Derek Carr like kind of like was getting the pass rush, was pushing him back, and he rolls out and just kind of heaves it in a lob up in the air, and number 7 Wilson catches it and wins the game.
The Raiders just won.
Yep.
Oh wow. Okay, the Raiders 1-0. 1-0 Raiders. Does that make the AFC West undefeated this weekend?
Absolutely.
Just as we all predicted, the AFC undefeated. Don't forget, folks, you can follow Evan at Burner Swords. Get all of his great 49ers NFL takes, weightlifting takes, all that good stuff. Follow him there. Follow the good folks at 49ers Hub, doing great coverage for the 49ers season. So if you want to even learn more about the 49ers, even if you're not a 49ers fan listening to this very podcast, it's a great website. Go check it out today. Go subscribe to sportsrenaissanceman.substack.com. I wrote about Georgia today and their quest for a national title and why stuff is weird. For 5 select programs in college football, go check out chasethomaspodcast.com if you've not already for access to all my previous episodes, and leave us a 5-star rating and a review on Apple Podcasts, because Evan and I will be doing this. You will hear us every Tuesday morning. This will be released. We record this Monday night after the Monday night NFL games. Evan, let's start our favorite segment, our time, our team, your 49ers. I don't want to do this first. I don't want to do my Falcons first. I don't want to go to that place, because it's been 24 hours, but I'm still not fully emotionally recovered from that sort of drubbing. So you start on a happy note, and then I'll bring everything down with my somber note.
Yeah, I mean, so the 49ers game was absolute insanity. You know, you heard me talking all week long about how the 49ers were going to absolutely destroy and throttle the Lions. And for the most part, that was true. By the halftime, it was 31-10. A lot of weird things happened in this game, right? Raheem Mostert gets injured pretty early, only has 2 carries. He ends up now having cartilage issues and will be out for at least 8 weeks. And then from there on, Eli Mitchell, who should have been the 3rd or 4th string running back, ends up taking over the lead position at running back because Trey Sermon is a healthy scratch.
More. What was up with that?
Well, I guess if we...
Well, what's a bigger red flag? Him or Ayuk?
So... So there's a bit of a rumor.
Okay.
So we'll tell you what was said, and we'll tell you a very unsubstantiated.
Okay. Yeah.
So what was said was that, you know, Brandon Ayuk was obviously coming off a hamstring injury, and, you know, they just didn't want to rush him. He was on the field a little bit, but, you know, yada, yada, yada. Trey Sermon, same thing. They said Trey Sermon was just a healthy scratch. They wanted to get the right people in the game. They wanted Mostert. It said Eli Mitchell had won over that starting position. JaMychal Hasty had as well. So that was kind of what was going on. There is once again, a very unsubstantiated rumor that potentially Trey Sermon and Eli and Brandon Ayuk missed curfew.
Ooh.
Leading up to the game. So
we don't know. That's just the rumor that's out there. We cannot confirm or deny.
100% cannot confirm or deny. But long story short, right? So, you know, no Trey Sermon, no Raheem Mostert. Eli Mitchell comes in and absolutely dominates. The first person to rush for 100 yards in the first game drafted in the 6th round in NFL history, I believe, which is a crazy stat. He averaged 5.5 yards per carry, scored a touchdown, 19 carries for 104 yards. Looked absolutely amazing. A lot of exciting things in the running game. The defense played well, but all in all, without a doubt, this was the Jimmy Garoppolo show.
Oh, your favorite.
Early on, Trey Lance came in for a package, threw a touchdown pass to Trent Sherfield.
Mm.
You thought that maybe we were going to see this more on, but throughout the game, after that touchdown pass, they brought, I think, Trey Lance in for maybe three more plays, and they were design runs every time, and every time the Lions knew exactly what was coming, and he got stuffed. Two plays, the design runs by Trey Lance, which are no fault of his own, right? He's only running the play that's called. Two plays had ended up being failed third down conversions, requiring the team to punt. So essentially we get to the third quarter, right? And end of third quarter, we get the fourth quarter. We're looking at this point, 41-17 with 2 minutes left. And then the Detroit Lions recover an onside kick with a little doink to George, a crazy bounce.
Mm-hmm.
Arguably, it was a crazy bounce, but doinked right into George Kittle's helmet. And then Deebo Samuel, who has had one of the most amazing games of his career, nine receptions, 189 yards, one touchdown, actually fumbles the ball. Two situations that could have put the game away, allow the Detroit Lions to score 16 points and come back and almost win the game. I mean, it was pretty much always – I don't think I was ever worried more than just stressed. But it was a crazy end to that game. What did I learn? I don't know if I learned this because I've known it all along. Jimmy Garoppolo is a damn good quarterback. He might not be Mahomes level. He might not be Aaron Rodgers level. You know, hell, he might not even be, just want that higher tier in general. But he's very good. None of the plays that he had by any means were wow, right? Nothing eye-popping, eye-opening.
I don't think anything works, though, with him without those Trey Lance run packages and everything, right?
I will fucking throw you through a window. Don't you dare. Don't you dare. Trey Lance's plays, once again, no fault of Trey, genuinely hurt the team. Jimmy was lighting it up, and he would come in and fuck up third down conversions. And that's Kyle's fault. That's not Trey's fault. But absolutely not. Jimmy had arguably one of his best games of his entire career. Once again, no play was overtly insane. Right, no crazy. There's really good throws throughout the whole way, but it's the entire body of work that you look back and you say he was able to complete all of those passes. Right, Jimmy's known for sometimes having errant throws. He had a lot in practice this training camp. Right, a lot of people were worried. He kept getting intercepted by Fred Warner. Fred Warner's not on this team, the Detroit Lions, and Jimmy looked great. Threw for 314 yards. With the touchdown, Jimmy looked great. So as a 49ers fan, I'm very happy getting to see that Eli Mitchell continues the Kyle Shanahan tradition of being a very late drafted running back or / undrafted running back to come in and just take over that mantle the way that Raheem Mostert has, the same way that Jeff Wilson has, the same way that Arian Foster has, and so on and so forth. The 49ers looked very good for 58 minutes, and I'm very excited for this team.
Who had the best day between Deebo, Trent Williams, Kittle, and Jimmy?
Well, it's hard, right? So Nick Bosa was the highest graded the defender on the team. Coming back from an ACL tear like that in his first game, just incredible. Eric Armstead had like 9 or 10 pressures. Quietly. A very good game, right? Deebo obviously had an incredible game. Eli Mitchell, as a rookie, 6th-round pick, had an incredible game. Trent Williams was the highest graded offensive player on the team.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely incredible. There's so many individuals that had just amazing performances.
Love him in Atlanta. Can tell you that.
It would be hard to pick who had the best overall day. But I gotta say, it might be Kyle Shanahan, right? Jimmy coming off an injury, playing pretty poorly on that high ankle sprain last year, looked amazing, right? Eli Mitchell, comes in as like a third.
Is that is it Eli? Is he not Elijah? Or is that a you thing?
Well, it's Elijah Mitchell, but it's Eli Mitchell on the stat tracker.
Okay. You have a lot of nicknames. You got Jimmy. How many Niners are you on first name basis with?
Well, I mean, too many.
Too many. Yeah.
Right. But, I will say this. This was absolutely the Kyle Shanahan show. Mm. Jimmy, Elijah, Debo, right? They looked amazing.
The Verrett stuff's terrible.
Yeah. I don't even want to talk about it, but I guess we kind of have to, right?
I mean, the secondary is, what's left?
Well, okay. So here's the thing. The uninitiated might not know this, but Diamandore Lenoir, the fifth round pick from Oregon, go Ducks, has looked amazing in training camp, and he came out and he didn't allow a single pass yesterday. He looked fantastic. He was one of the highest graded players on the field yesterday. We absolutely seem to have found a guy, right? We got a guy. So right now we're looking at potentially having Emmanuel Mosley, who's been a starter, come back next week. We have Lenoir playing very well. We have signed Josh Norman. We signed Drake Kirkpatrick. It's not great, but having Lenoir play well and at this high of a level, really, man, it's very good, all things considered. Also, not to mention this, Dee Ford, who reportedly was going to retire last year because of how bad his neck injury, came back and had nine snaps and had a sack and like a handful of pressures, like six pressures. Dee Ford looked great last night, and he was arguably going to retire.
I'm really happy for you.
I appreciate it, man. I'm sorry that it was not that the same for you.
No. The Falcons are terrible. Like, just across the board, everywhere. It's just terrible. There's nothing redeeming about, like, the disparity between the skill talent. I mean, AJ Terrell is going to be fine. Kyle Pitts got nothing going. Calvin Ridley was a factor in the first drive, and then nothing after. Mike Davis looked okay, right? Like, Cordell Patterson was probably our best player. I mean, it should be expected with the ball for life like that, and just the kind of beast that he is. But it was atrocious across the board. Russell Gage was not involved. Jalen Mayfield had one of the worst PFF grades ever. Matt Ryan, though, was not responsible for any of the hits and sacks he took per PFF. I thought that was interesting. A friend of the pod, Andrew Hirsch, tweeted that out, that PFF found that he was not responsible for any of the hits, any of the sacks, any of the blown pressure assignments, everything. It was not on him. Ryan got his brains beat in, and texting my group friends and all that kind of stuff, and just being like, Ryan's not making it through this year. Like, this is it. Like, I hope everyone's ready, but this is the last year of Matt Ryan in Atlanta. This is it. The offensive line's not good enough. There's no path to fixing this offensive line. It's bad. Everything's bad. Taking Pitts is not going to move the needle either way. The pass rush is somehow worse than it was a year ago. If you didn't hear Dante Fowler's name on Sunday, it was because no one did. The penalties were outrageous. It was clear a team that did not play any of their starters all preseason and did not build that early continuity. It unfolded in a really, really horrible way yesterday. Everything that possibly could have gone wrong went wrong. This team is not going to be a team that fights for 8-9 wins and maybe sneaking in as a wild card. No, they're going to be one of the worst teams in the NFL this year. And this is it for Matt Ryan. I don't think he can stick around much longer for the rebuild, and it's not right for him. So I don't know where he goes after this year, but this is the swan song for Matt Ryan in Atlanta. And also, I don't know if he survives it. Like, this is bad. I don't understand. I don't know how he does this. He cannot move like Jalen Hurts. And watching Jalen Hurts just dissect your team the way he did, where he was just sitting in the pocket and throwing these little 5-yard outs and just finding dudes on flares and navigating and finding Dallas Goedert and Jalen Hurts. He played really well. He had some really good throws. Devontae Smith was always open yesterday, but like, he wasn't amazing. He had almost 3 seconds to throw every time. But you know, it is what it is. Maybe the Eagles are better than we thought, and the Falcons are way, way worse than we thought. As Khaleesi the dog makes her way into the studio as I am ranting about the Falcons. What's up? That's all I got. Do you have any questions for me on the Falcons? Do you want to probe my sadness?
No, I don't want to probe sadness. Doesn't need to be probed. The one thing I will say though is it is interesting that the 49ers do play the Eagles this coming week. And I think, you know, although the 49ers had some really bad luck and some poor circumstances at the end of the game, they played very well against the Lions, and they are a very good team. So I am curious to see how they play against the Eagles.
I'll tell you, they're better than you think. They're better than
I was talking to Michael Kist. Shout out to Michael. Michael's a great follow on Twitter. And he was like, yep, that's all bullshit. They're still bad. You'll have no trouble. So I do think it'll be a good litmus test.
It'll be interesting. We're going to take a quick break for a message from our sponsors.
And we're back!
Evan's just jumping in. I guess we're back, folks, on the Chase Thomas podcast. The Vikings paid O'Neal on the offensive line a couple days before the Vikings offensive line decided to sit out their game against the Cincinnati Bengals, where Joey B showed out. Justin Herbert had a quiet, forgettable afternoon. Joey B, point. Justin Herbert, minus a point. The Bengals went in overtime against the Minnesota Vikings off a horrible Dalvin Cook fumble. Just a really sloppy game, all things considered. But one thing is for real, which is Joey B to Jamar Chase to T. Higgins to Tyler Boyd. They're going to be good. This offense works. It clicks. The defense is a little bit better. And the Vikings, I talk about the Falcons offensive line. The Vikings, friend of the pod, Eric Thompson, he tweeted out, like, this is going to be a long, long year. Their offensive line is in shambles, a tradition unlike any other. The Vikings, terrible offensive line. And I sent him the Spider-Man meme of, like, the pointing at each other thing, where the Falcons and the Vikings are converging on a supremely disappointing and frustrating and sad season. Any thoughts on the Bengals beating the Vikings, and the Vikings being in a lot of trouble there?
You know, I will say this. I was at a bar watching the Niners game, and right next to me was this Vikings fan who, if it wasn't for him, I probably wouldn't have been able to pay as much attention to the Vikings game. But it absolutely was a matter of the Vikings losing this game more than it was the Bengals winning this game. I heard this kid just screaming every single time. He must have said five or six times, I don't know what the number is, the figure, we'd like, we pay you $23 million or something like that, yelling about Kirk Cousins.
Rough. Was,
you know, I will say I was very surprised. You know, the one thing that really comes to mind with the Bengals, you know, it was nice to see Jamar Chase score a touchdown. He scored a touchdown, right?
He did.
Yeah.
It was almost the exact same play that Joey B found him on 2 years ago.
Yep. But Rashawn Slater with the Chargers had a near perfect day. Didn't let a single person get to the quarterback with two very good pass rushers on that team, right? If you're not familiar, Penei Sewell went up against Nick Bosa while spending all training camp at the right tackle position, only to at the last second have to go back to his more natural.
You were conflicted
position.
Here, an Oregon versus Niner situation.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't conflicted. It worked out exactly
how I mean, you want to win the matchup, but you don't want Penei to be embarrassed.
Right, but that's exactly, like, it worked out perfectly. The Niners one-handedly, and Penei Sewell in the left tackle position where he normally belongs had a fantastic game. So here's my point. As the Bengals continue,
that everything's awesome for you in Oregon and San Francisco.
No. Mm-hmm. How do you justify taking Jamar Chase with Rashawn Slater and Penei Sewell sitting there on the board?
Jonah Williams, because you took him a year ago. He just didn't play last year. Yeah, on left tackle.
I'm just telling you, man. Rashawn Slater and Penei Sewell will be haunted by the Cowboys. You know, or not, they won't be haunted.
Cowboys are in trouble. Collins is out for substance abuse, like, for like five games.
The Cowboys taking Micah Parsons, right?
Yeah.
He looked good, though. The Bengals taking Jamar Chase. Mm-hmm. Right? These are
the Falcons
teams
taking Kyle Pitts.
Exactly. The Falcons taking Kyle Pitts was one of the people I tweeted about.
The Browns Chiefs. The Browns blow it. They're up at the half. Two scores. Chiefs come roaring back. Patrick Mahomes, a maestro late. From PFF, Baker Mayfield uncorked three big-time throws and threw the ball 10.4 yards downfield on average. But unlike Mahomes, the 2018 number one overall pick recorded only one turnover-worthy play in this game. But it's the one that everyone's going to remember. It was the game-sealing pick. That's the bummer. Baker played well, and there's a lot of talk of like the game manager stuff and if he can really contend against Mahomes in an AFC title game situation or a Josh Allen. And I think the answer is yes. And he played well in this game. The pick was unfortunate, but beating Mahomes on the road, it's tough. They've played the Chiefs tough twice now. I think if you get them one more time in the playoffs, like, it might be different. I think the Browns are fine. I think their run defense is stout. Chiefs couldn't do anything on the ground against them. I don't know. I think the Browns showed a lot, and I think the Browns are going to be fine even with the loss. And as you've seen here, the Ravens lost, so that's good for them to not lose a game on them. The Steelers, fool's gold. Steelers, fool's gold. Do not buy this Steelers stock. Ben looked awful in this game. Ben, like, that was something I jotted down. He looked awful, and the Steelers get a great win. The defense is legit. The offensive line might be a little bit better. The playmakers out wide are still great, but, like, the Steelers, they do it, but that was more just Bills bleh, than Steelers being awesome. What do you make of those two?
The Bills game, I mean, you obviously, anybody that's listened to me, that was the biggest surprise on earth for me. I was floored. I cannot believe the Bills lost that game. You know, I do think every year the NFL has teams lose the first couple weeks, you know, especially maybe they're not as ready as they needed to be or getting prepared. One less preseason game, who knows? But the Bills losing was just unbelievably surprising to me.
Mm-hmm.
I truly couldn't believe that. So that was a pretty big one.
Absolutely. But we'll see. You just can't have Josh Allen 60 attempts, 60 dropbacks. That's just not something you can do all year. That's not sustainable in a 17 game schedule. The Saints and the Bucks, I think, or the Saints and the Packers rather, was the most surprising game of the weekend. I went back and watched the majority of this game. Like, Jameis, I mean, that bomb late was perfect to Harris. Kamara just still chugging along, being a dude, talking about the best offensive line in football. And this was the reason I was so high on the Saints before the year. I was like, man, even if Jameis or Taysom's a step down from Drew, which I don't think they are based on what Drew was last year, like, this offensive line is still maybe the best in football. This defensive line hasn't gotten any worse. Dennis Allen's still coaching up this defense. They just paid Lattimore. They got dudes everywhere. Get to Mario Davis. Kamara is going to eventually fall off, but that's not happening this year. I don't know, man. The Saints, I think, are contenders. Like, I think what they did to the Packers, I mean, it kind of was reminiscent of your Niners beating them down, right? Like, a little bit of that action. And the Packers, man, I think there's real problems there. What do you think?
I don't know that I think that there's necessarily real problems, but what I will say is this. These next couple games for the Packers are going to tell you a lot. I don't think Aaron Rodgers is sabotaging the Packers by any means, but I thought the Packers on paper got better this year, and they looked awful. He looked awful. And Jameis is an incredible story. You know, a lot of people will chalk that up to Sean Payton being a great quarterback.
I give it to his trainer. His trainer who said, well, he just said to be prepared.
Right.
Oh, did you not get that bit? Did you not see that today? Did I not send that to you?
No.
Post game where they asked Jameis, they were talking to him, and he was like, oh, well, actually, before the game, my trainer, he told me this thing. And then, like, he paused it, and he's like, I forgot what he told me, but anyway, he told me to be prepared. That was the end. I'll send it to you after this. I cannot believe I can't, like, I can't do it and do it justice. You have to see it.
Yeah, I will. I look forward to looking at it.
It's hilarious. But anyway, continue.
But yeah, I mean, Jameis playing like that, of course they're going to, you know, be a contender. To what extent and how far, who knows? But they're definitely be a contender.
The NFC West.
Division.
Your power rankings after four games, because the other big center, the Cardinals, beating the crap out of the Titans, Taylor Lewin having to go to Twitter and apologize and pinning a tweet for being that bad on Sunday. The Titans, another team, looking like they have some real issues. The nice thing for them, though, they're in the AFC South, which now is led by the Houston Texans after 1 week. So I think they're okay. But the NFC West, man, if the Cardinals are real and Chandler Jones is going to play like that every week, I mean, this NFC West, dude, it is a bloodbath. Are you excited about how good the Seahawks looked and how good Tyler Lockett looked and how good Matt Stafford looked and how good Kyler Murray looked? Like, are you excited to challenge them, or are you worried now?
I'm excited because I think that the best teams have to play the best teams.
Mm.
I think the 49ers overall have the best have the best depth out of all four teams. So in a bloodbath division in a 17 game season, I think that'll be very useful. That said, you know, at the end of the day, I'm taking the Niners roster over everyone else. This week was going to be, I needed to see something from Jimmy to know how the rest of the season would go. Can the 49ers compete, right? What did I say when I talked about it? I said, I think on paper they have a better roster other than maybe the cornerbacks, now even more so the Super Bowl run that they had. As far as power rankings go, I've got the 49ers at number one. They absolutely throttled the Lions for literally...
Noted powerhouse Detroit Lions, yes.
Right. Well, okay, but so the Seahawks scored 28 points and 28-16 against the Colts. The Colts were not good. Carson Wentz was very bad, right? Mm-hmm. The Cardinals played a very good team in the Titans, what I thought at least, and they destroyed them 38-13. So if I'm looking at this objectively, and I am a biased fan, but I still think the 49ers absolutely number one power ranking, especially with Jimmy playing that well. Cardinals are going to be number two. Obviously, that will probably change as the season goes on, because I don't know that the Cardinals will sustain that type of success with that roster. Seahawks number three, maybe, but I think actually probably the Rams number three and the Seahawks number four. At the end of the day, these are all four teams that won handedly in football games. So I think you could easily say they're all tied for first.
Mm.
And as far as a power ranking goes, because they all had very good days. I mean, I can't say it enough. The Rams looked very good. I am terrified of Matt Stafford. I was before. I am more so now. The Cardinals looked great. It's a scary week, man. It's going to be a long season.
But hey, like you said, it's fun. And I remember when the NFC South used to be like this. And that is not the case. That was the Drew Brees, Cam Newton, Matt Ryan era of the NFC South, but that is long gone. Rookie quarterbacks, who looked the best to you? Who impressed you the most? Are you going to try and say Trey Lance here?
No, I'm definitely not going to say Trey Lance, because Trey Lance looked good when he threw that touchdown, but yeah, Kyle used him in a very pathetic way. I'm very upset with how Kyle used him. You know, Mac Jones looked good. He looked pretty confident for a rookie. I thought Kyle Wilson had some pretty exciting plays. Trevor Lawrence, that poor son of a bitch. I told you. What did I tell you?
Okay, you keep saying I told you. Okay, this needs to stop. You've done this twice now. That's not what happened. I said that they would go like 6-11 in the AFC South.
No. Okay, once again, you're complete. I remember what you said. You're not anywhere near my point. So let me just explain. when we talked about who did we think, what quarterback out of the four that were drafted would not be successful, because history shows that there's always at least one that doesn't succeed. Most of the time it's
at least
two or even three. And I said, if I have to pick which quarterback I thought won't be successful, I'm taking Trevor Lawrence and the Jaguars. Not because of Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence is an incredible talent, one of the best we've ever seen. And he looked that way this week. But I will say that I will take Trevor Lawrence as the one to fail, because how worthless the Jaguars are as an organization, and they showed that. Urban Meyer looks like he has no idea what he's doing. The Jaguars were terrible. The offensive line was terrible. And even more so than that, they lost handedly 37 points by the worst team in the NFL, who we expected of the number one overall pick at the end of the season. And there are rumors currently that Urban Meyer, after 1 week, might not have his heart in it, might not want to continue to be the Jaguars head coach. That's what I'm saying.
It's going to be a long year in Jacksonville, I think. Going to be a long year. Mac Jones, I think, impressed me the most based on what I saw. Justin Fields is helpless. Like, that Bears situation, that offensive line is not getting any better. There's a reason they don't want to play that dude right now. He's going to die behind that offensive line. As someone who just watched their quarterback get his brain speed in all weekend, I don't think it's good. He's in real trouble there, and I think that Bears team's going to be quite bad. If you had to guess right now, bigger outlier, who's more likely to bounce back, Green Bay or Tennessee? Who are you more optimistic
about?
Green Bay.
Okay. Green Bay. Green Bay's got a really strong roster. I'm going to say Green Bay for sure. Aaron Rodgers is too good to continue to play like that, so I don't think it's something that you can count on. The only thing that I could think of is that maybe Aaron Rodgers is really just trying to say fuck you to Green Bay after what they did to him. I don't even know if they even really did anything to him worth this, but, you know, in his head, maybe they think that. But yeah, if I'm betting on anyone to have a week one mulligan, it's Aaron Rodgers.
Mm. I think that's probably right, but I do think they have less room to falter. They need one of those top seeds, and they need that home field advantage come January, come December in Lambeau. So they have a lot less room for error. I think the Titans can go like 7-10 and win the AFC South. They can have a horrible start and still hang around in there. Sword says, 2 minutes, hot take. Let's go. Give me your 2 minutes. Take of the weekend, Mr. Evan Swords.
I really got to start remembering that I'm going to do this.
It's not that I don't ask you every single week the same kind of stuff, right?
Well, I think I kind of already answered it.
I think it's the trade. No, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to clear the deck. You might not even need 2 minutes. It's the Trey Lance packages.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, that's my thing, right? You know, I said what I said this week, or, you know, yesterday and today, and I actually got a lot of hate from it. A lot of people thought this was like a dig at Trey Lance. I think in this podcast so far, I've been very clear on this. Trey Lance is going to be one of the best quarterbacks the NFL will ever see, in my head, very soon. Not this year. He's not going to play unless there's an injury, but soon. I'm very excited for the Trey Lance season, you know, the era to come into play. But Jimmy Garoppolo is the quarterback right now. Jimmy looked great. Jimmy played his exact. I mean, you know, if you don't want me to be the smug, arrogant asshole that I can be when I'm right, don't let Jimmy play like that, because I've been screaming from the top of my lungs. Context: Jimmy played bad last year. He had two high ankle sprains. Well, Jimmy's a quitter. He had two high ankle sprains. He tried to come back early. All of these things, we don't need to dive back into it, but my point is, as I was right. And now they're bringing Trey Lance in for these worthless, gadgety, wannabe New Orleans Saints packages. They were literally design run plays. Couldn't have been more obvious. All they were doing is bringing out your star future quarterback that you traded 3 first-round picks for and throwing him towards defensive lines that knew he was going to run. And he was getting lit up. It's stupid. The touchdown pass that Trey threw, Jimmy could have thrown the same play. No question about it. Let Jimmy do his thing. Let Jimmy cook. Stop bringing Trey in, not because I don't like Trey, but because you're messing with a flow that doesn't need to be messed with, and it's just a waste of everyone's time. You either start Trey Lance or you start Jimmy Garoppolo, and you can't start Trey right now with how well Jimmy's playing, so let Jimmy do his thing.
You would have hated mid-2000s Florida.
Oh, yeah.
The Chris League, Tim Tebow dynamic. You would not have liked that. Has Oregon ever run a 2-quarterback system? I'm trying to think when they were putting people in and out.
Not really, no.
No. Dennis Dixon. I'm trying to go back. Anthony Brown doesn't look very good. That's the one positive for me my weekend. With all your happiness, something I can take away from you.
He looks good.
Did he look good?
Yeah, he did.
Which downfield pass was your favorite from Anthony Brown on Saturday?
He hit a couple. He looked good. I don't know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. You know what we're throwing out, Mr. Swords?
Huh?
My nonsense I tried last week.
Oh, thank God. I tried telling you.
I'm never going to do it again. What was it? Sometimes I just try and do too much. I just try and do too much. I'm always trying to improve and throw out different
but
stuff.
But hey, that's the way you do it, though. You figure things. You try new things. You see what works. Mm-hmm. Right? Hey, who knows?
Just tell me next time beforehand.
Maybe Kyle Shanahan is going to come back after this week and go, you know what? Hey, I tried the Trey Lance stuff. Didn't work. We're gonna go with what works. And hey, maybe you do the same thing.
What a week!
It's about
for you.
Growth.
Yeah. What we're gonna do is we're gonna bring back our favorite segment from a year ago. Do you remember this? Screw the lines. It's that we don't really want to do any of the we don't want to go into the overs and the unders. We don't. There's a bunch of great people that do all that. We're not doing that. We're doing screw the lines. That's what's happening. Screw the lines. Week two of the NFL season. I'm gonna put 2 minutes on the clock. Evan, do you have the week two schedule in front of you?
Of course I do.
Okay.
Let's run through. That maybe I might just have planned this?
Did you? You knew this was coming.
Kind of. All right. Let's get after it. Let's get weird.
All right. 2 minutes on the clock starting now.
All right. This is going to be an interesting game because I think both teams suck. Thursday game, Giants and Washington football team. Who do you got?
Oh, God. Is Taylor Heinicke playing in this? Is that because Fitzpatrick's out, what, 7 weeks?
It is. That's correct.
Okay. Daniel Jones, Taylor Heinicke. Guess how much I'll be watching of this game? 0 minutes. Give me the Washington football team, and I was right about the Giants being absolutely terrible. Next. What about you?
I'm taking the Giants. They are terrible, but Heinicke's worse. All right. Raiders, Steelers. What an interesting game considering how they just played this week. Who do you got?
I hate that we're doing this all over again with the Steelers. Are they going to start out 10-0, 11-0 again? And we're just like, frauds, frauds, frauds. Yeah, give me the Steelers. I hate that we're doing this all over again.
I'm taking the Steelers only because I don't trust the Raiders to win two games in a row and go 2-0.
Yeah.
So I get it. I'm okay with that. 49ers, Eagles. I think we're both probably pretty safe here, even though you just watched the Eagles beat up on your team.
No, I don't think Jalen beats this group. I think the 49ers defense will be a lot more ready to go for what Jalen's going to try and do against this 49ers defense. I'm curious who's going to match up with Devontae Smith, though. I don't know who y'all are going to throw at him. But no, give me the Niners here.
I think Jimmy Ward will definitely be a part of that for sure.
Mm. Devontae Smith's good. He's good.
He is good. Texans, Browns.
Give me the Browns by whatever the spread is. Guess what? We don't care about the spread because this is screw the lines week two.
I'm taking the Browns, no doubt about it. Yeah, they don't. The Texans don't get to play the Jaguars every week, unfortunately. Speaking of the Jaguars, Broncos, Jags.
Oh, cool. 2-0 Broncos. Shout out to Teddy Bridgewater, who got like some praise from Von Miller, who's like, we haven't felt like this since number 18 was back on the sidelines. He's a great story. Go Teddy. Okay. Go Broncos.
Teddy's one of the highest rated quarterbacks, I think, efficiency wise, this week one. So yeah, love that for Teddy. Teddy two gloves. Great, great game.
We love to see it.
Saints, Panthers.
Ooh. Where is this?
I have no idea. It's at Carolina.
Ooh, with the scary 3D Panther. Give me the Panthers. Darnold did not look good. That offense is still not great. Christian McCaffrey's a star, but that's about it. I think the defense is fine. They made Brian Burns with the Spider-Man celebration. I'm sure you like that. With his sacks. But no, give me the Saints. I don't think the Panthers can score enough.
I'm glad we're in agreement there. I completely agree. The year of LASIK Jameis continues. Rams and Colts. This is going to be another barn burner. I think it's safe to say we're both going to be taking the Rams here.
Yeah, give me the Rams. Carson Wentz, 0-2.
Carson Wentz, 0-2. Yeah, Rams look good this year. Bills, Dolphins. This is actually an interesting game considering how the Bills look. I'm still taking the Bills, though.
Give me the Bills, too, but 2-0, two-game hole to the Dolphins right out of the gate.
You love the Dolphins too, low key. Secretly,
they should have lost on Sunday.
They should have. Speaking of teams that should have lost on Sunday, and did, Patriots and Jets.
Oh, but give me the Bills. Do you have the Bills too?
I do.
Okay. Who was it? Patriots and who?
Patriots and Jets.
Yeah, this is gonna be a dumb one. Give me another rookie bowl though. We're getting another AFC East rookie bowl. Give me the Pats, but I think Zach Wilson plays a lot better this week.
Yeah, you know, in fact, I might be a little homerish rooting for the AFC Niners. I'm going to take the Jets this week.
I thought you were about to say you were going to this game.
No, I wish. Bengals, Bears.
Oh, my goodness. Andy Dalton, revenge game. This is in Chicago?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay, give me the Bears.
Yeah, I don't really have an answer for this game. I think if Justin Fields was playing, it might be more quick to lean towards the Bears, but both of these teams are not fun to watch. I do think I'm going to go Bears too, but I don't feel good about either answer.
Ooh, who do you think's fired first, Zach Taylor or Matt Nagy?
Andy Dalton.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, they're going to have to go Zach Taylor might get fired just because I think when you go with a rookie quarterback, which they're about to do, they'll probably want to see it through.
No, you mean Matt Nagy. Zach Taylor doesn't have a rookie quarterback. They got Joe Burrow.
Sorry, yes, I meant Matt Nagy. Excuse me.
I think Matt Nagy's gone too. I think people don't realize how Paul Brown works.
I think Zach Taylor goes first.
Oh, you think he's fired first?
Yeah, I think the Bears are going to inevitably start Justin Fields, and he'll be exciting, and they're going to want to see that through. Unless it gets really ugly, but usually you're not going to fire the coach the rookie year of the quarterback just to keep some type of continuity going.
I don't know. I think the Brown or the Bengals, Brown has a history of being
the Bengals just won too, though, so it's hard to say.
Yeah, I don't know. Paul Brown likes to keep his guys along a long, long period of time. He's pretty loyal. I don't know. We'll see. Next up, where are we going?
Do the Falcons have a bye this week too?
Do they? Do they have a bye? Do I get to not watch the Atlanta Falcons this weekend?
No, you actually have to fight them and watch them play the defending Super Bowl champions.
Is that what's on the schedule? You got the Bucks on the schedule?
Yep.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to go with the Bucks on this one. Yeah, and you know what else I'm going to go with? Chase not having a good time on Sunday.
You know, this would be absolutely such a Falcons ass game to win.
No.
Just like the
Vita
Vea
is going to literally eat Jalen Mayfield, and that's it. Game over. Who's blocking Vita Vea?
I mean, nobody blocks Vita Vea.
Well, Jalen Mayfield is absolutely not. Matt Hennessy is absolutely not. That defensive line is going to destroy this group. There's no path. There's no path, Evan.
Oh, trust me. I get it. We don't need to spend much time talking about
No, we don't. Just a terrible... Thankfully, Tennessee has Tennessee Tech, the battle for I-40 on Saturday, so at least I get some positivity. It looks like.
Unfortunately for me in the NFC West, the Cardinals are playing the Vikings and they're going to go 2-0.
Ooh, disagree. Man. Come back to Earth game. Come back to Earth game. Mike Zimmer steers the ship. It was ugly. They cannot play that bad again offensively. I don't like the matchup, Chandler Jones against this Minnesota offensive line, but I think the Vikings flip it around here. I don't think it's going to be a dumpster fire in Minnesota just yet.
Sometimes you do things that I don't understand.
Cliff Kingsbury 2-0 out of the gate? No. He's not beating Vrabel and Zimmer back to back. No. Give me the Vikings.
Speaking of comeback games, Titans and Seahawks.
Ooh. I like this. Seahawks.
I read someone say on Twitter, they said that Julio Jones they didn't think did enough to add to this team, and that they already had holes in the first place. So the Titans might actually be in a lot of trouble. That said, yeah, man, it's hard to go against the Seahawks here, even though I hate picking them. So I think we both take them here. My best friend, poor Chris World has to watch his teams get the crap beat out of him. This is an interesting game, and I'm actually very excited for this. The Cowboys looked really good, even though they lost. I'm very surprised. I was very impressed with Dak. I thought he's a great quarterback, but I wasn't really like buying the whole like top tier, you know, S tier level of quarterback play. He looked great. He looked really good. So they played the Chargers. Justin Herbert, they won, but they didn't look that good. It's hard to pick against them, but I don't know. What do you think? It's at L.A.
Well, you know that home field advantage with the L.A. Chargers. You're in L.A. You know the Charger fever.
Yeah, think about it. It's the Cowboys. It'll be filled with Cowboys.
No, I mean, L.A. is Charger country now. L.A. is all Charger country.
I don't know if you're joking right now.
I'm trolling. Yes.
Okay, I was gonna say like the Cowboys are gonna show up big to this game, so I'm gonna begrudgingly take the Cowboys here.
I'm gonna take the Chargers. They look more balanced, and that offensive line looks a lot different. I believe in their offensive line this year. Give me the Chargers.
Yeah. Offensive line looks great, and Derwin James is back.
That's what I'm saying. Chargers are a better team. They should win this game.
I don't know. The Cowboys look really good, man.
Cowboys offensively look really good. That defense is still a dumpster fire. It's still a dumpster fire. Herbert should have a fun day.
Herbert will have some fun, but what's their wide receiver? They just got injured.
Josh Palmer? Who was it? Keenan Allen? Who got hurt?
Someone got hurt on that team.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, one of their, because I remember Mike Williams played very well. Chiefs and Ravens. I think this is going to be a fairly good game, but the Ravens kind of struggled tonight. It is a 5 o'clock game next week, so they've got some time to recover. What do you think?
This is going to be good, but also kind of brutal. Primetime, back-to-back for the Ravens. But like you said, some time to get back so they're not at least at the 1 o'clock spot on Sunday. But Ravens, Chiefs, give me the Ravens at home. Give me the Ravens at home to bounce back. Chiefs aren't going 17-0, and they're going to lose to some good teams every now and then. And I think the Ravens are still a good team. Even if I had to do it now, I have some pretty strong questions about that offensive line.
The one thing I will say is, Ruggs didn't look that great tonight. Brian Edwards had the game-winning touchdown, essentially. Not the game-winning touchdown, right? But, like, anyways.
What a game.
what an insane game. I think they might be able to slow down Tyreek Hill a little bit. That said, I'm still taking the Chiefs.
Okay. Monday night.
Lions and Packers.
Oh, okay. So this is when it's like the emergency button, like the wee. Like if the Packers blow this in Lambeau on Monday Night Football against this Lions team, this season's in real disarray. No excuses here. The Packers should win and win big here.
Yeah, someone said this on Twitter today, and I think I very much so agree with it. They said, "I am glad that the 49ers don't play the Packers week two, just in case Aaron Rodgers does have his I'm awake, fuck you tour game and, play angry." So I'm glad to see that he'll be able to beat up on the Lions instead. Also, happy that we play the Packers week three and they've got a Monday night game.
There you go. We did it. Zoom through it. It's a lot more efficient. It's a lot better.
Yeah, it's very efficient for sure.
And it's just the points and the keeping up
good.
And the math.
It feels good. Felt good.
Yeah, it felt good. You in charge of that, running through the stuff. It's good. I think we went back to old reliable, if you will.
Yeah. And it's not even like old reliable. It just is. It's just reliable. It's good to go.
Don't forget, folks, you can listen to Evan and I on this very podcast once a week during the NFL season. We record on Monday nights. You'll get this on Tuesday morning, so look out for that on this feed. Go to ChaseThomasPodcast.com. Go to 49ersHub.com to check out all the 49ers. Great coverage over there. Evan on Twitter at burner_Sowards. Sowards with an SOWARDS. Oh, again, that is Evan Sowards.
Never stop, will it?
It's never going to stop. It's the little things after weekends, like the Vols and the Falcons are giving
right. It's also like 8 a.m. right now, your time.
Okay, that's enough. I don't want to. Okay. Anyway, as I'm wrapping up this really sad outro, where everyone was like, I'm tired. I'm ready to wrap up here at like 8:45 his time. And I'm doing this late. We're nearing 1 o'clock in the morning my time, falling asleep at my laptop. But you know what? I'm a grinder. Don't let Evan fool you. The real hero, the real cape wearer on this podcast is speaking at this moment.
There's never in doubt, by the way. There's no one ever that thought my lazy ass was one of Gruden's grinders. Ever.
Subscribe to our newsletter. Go subscribe today. Just your email in there, sportsrenaissanceman.substack.com, chasethomaspodcast.com. And if you like listening to Evan and I, can't say it enough, leave us a 5-star rating and review. Let us know what you think of the show. Evan,
listen,
I will.
Don't even be greedy. Be greedy. You don't even have to like listening to us.
Right.
You don't have to like it. You don't just like it.
We don't
like
give a shit.
Stepfather. Yeah. You don't need to like us, but you damn well better respect us.
Right.
So get your ass over there. You give a little 5-star review.
Yeah.
Not because I'm your father.
Right.
I'll never be your father, but I'm the one that's here every Monday. Mm-hmm. Right. I'm here.
Right.
He's not.
So oh, yikes. This is getting dark.
He's never coming back. I'm what you got. I'm at the dinner table putting food.
Do you want that responsibility?
No.
The podcast father. The pod father, Evan Swords. The
really
pod father we didn't know we all needed.
The trope, you know, diving deep.
I like it. I like it. Evan, I will talk to you next week, my friend.
Godspeed.
Nicely done, nephew. Chase Thomas Podcast. Hell yeah.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.